Yes. You'll have my notes on the overhead, but we're going to just leave those the way they are. And I'd like to thank Gary Fuller. He and his beautiful bride, Rebecca, are going to be filling in for me next Wednesday night. I'm going to be gone to see my friend Vicki and celebrate with her all that God has done. Yeah, it's worth celebrating. Would someone just get me just a cup of water? I'd be appreciative. Tonight we're going to talk about the two trees out of Genesis chapter 2. Your little baby girl's having a birthday party tonight, I heard, in children's church. Yes. Sweet little KK turning 6. Oh, hard to believe. We've been, I hope we finish Genesis before I die. That was a joke. Listen, I want to take my time because I'm finding so much in it. I don't know if you're learning, but I'm learning. And thank you so much. And I love to learn about his word. And you know, how you get in the kitchen or on the grill or whatever you're doing. And boy, by the time you're through, you know, you've sampled and tasted and you know what it needed. And I've been in the kitchen with the Lord in my life, and I'm telling you, he's good. So I'm going to read to you the text we have for tonight. It's Genesis 2, 8 through 9, and this is in the New International Version. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. And in the middle of the garden, there were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Lord, tonight I just want your word to be fresh. I want your word tonight, God, to speak to our hearts where we are today. Because your word is eternal. Your word is now. Your word is alive. I pray tonight, Holy Spirit, that you would literally touch us through the word. God, that all confusion would go in Jesus' name. That all fear would go in Jesus' name. That any remnants of doubt, God, would be shown the light and they could not stay, Father. That you will impress upon our hearts life and life abundant tonight, God, because we've met together. Because you speak through the word. We thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. They all said. You know what's funny? A couple of weeks ago, I had someone visit the church that hadn't been in church in a while. And I said, well, do we scare you? And they're like, yeah. You know, I got to thinking about that. I know that we get kind of loud sometimes in praise and worship and we move. I see people doing a whole lot more than that at concerts. They're paying like hundreds of dollars for tickets and they're going all out, and I just don't understand why people don't get it, that came from God first. That's something he created in us, was to respond. I will never forget, I went to a writer's seminar one time, and Andre Crouch was one of the panelists, and and Michael Omardian and another guy who wrote some Oscar-winning song. I don't remember his name. I just remember the song he wrote was, I'm so pretty, I'm so pretty. And he won an Oscar for it. So anyway, But I remember at this seminar that we were in, someone was asking, you know, them basically, and there were secular writers there. And this is when we lived in California. And once somebody said to them, how do you do something that you know is going to move people? And I will never forget Andre Crouch's response. He said, it has to be the Spirit of God. He said, Michael Jackson had called him one time and said to him, I want my crowd to react the way your crowds do. Tell me how you make that happen. And he said, I just told him, you can't manufacture that, but it's inside of every one of us to praise the Lord like that. And so I'm just telling you that. I don't want you to be ashamed of worshiping God, because it's something in you. And man, it just releases stress and tension. And so I just encourage you tonight, get in agreement with the Lord. So tonight, the two trees, the basis for this whole story is it's all about choice. Okay? I could tell you that in one more sentence and we'd go home, but we're not. Because they're doing crafts and they need me to keep going. I'm just kidding. Why do you use a vending machine? Let's just pretend that it's midnight. You're in a hospital. The cafeteria is closed. It's a closed campus. You know, once you leave that hospital, you can't get back in. But you're hungry. I pray you're not hangry. But you're hungry and you want something. And you go down to these vending machines. What is the purpose of that vending machine? Food. Convenience. Make money. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how many of us have visited vending machines just because the look of something lured us in? We weren't even really hungry. Oh, come on. Thank you. I got three honest people in this house tonight. Yes, right? Just the look, the appeal of it. Well, we use vending machines, really, in a case like that. If I had been there all day and I was hungry, I would probably go through this little process like, you know, I don't need M&Ms. I mean, I could justify peanuts as protein, but I don't need peanut M&Ms, right? I'd probably go for something more like, you know, those little peanut butter crackers or something that I thought, you know what I'm saying? So sometimes choice is based on need, what's reasonable. Sometimes choice is based on how something looks. I'm not going to lie to you. Sometimes those little honey buns in the middle of the night just like, ooh, that is calling my name, right? And so sometimes it's not just appearance, it's not just taste, but it is need. But whenever I put my money in, I expect that to be dispensed. I expect it to dispense and for me to take it, whether it's good for me or not, right? Well, in the garden, God had provided everything that Adam was ever going to need. And he provided it in a way where he took away. There weren't any thorns. There weren't any adverse conditions. There wasn't even storms, rainstorms. The water just came up from the ground like automatic sprinkler systems. Somebody should pay God for that idea. That was his, right? And, you know, he had provided all that. But he knew what you and I know. Love is a choice. It's a choice. See, when Steve and I got together, if there was no other woman on earth, I would have known, well, he just picked me because there was nobody else, right? But there were choices. I wasn't the first girl he asked to marry him, right? I turned down three other guys before I got to him. So we know that love, it was a choice for us. And I want you to understand something. In this garden, God placed the opportunity for choice. He wasn't like, you're going to do this because I said so, because you're my kid. He was like, I want you to choose me out of love. I want to know that I'm your choice. How many of us want to give somebody the freedom to choose instead of manipulate and control and contrive? Because once you have to spin that plate, you got to keep spinning it to keep them interested. So what happened was he allowed the enemy, Satan, who we've already discussed in the first part of Genesis, that is at least where I believe there was the fall, because everything changed. And the earth wasn't recreated, it was reformed. It was formed again from what it was, from the fall. And I think that's when the dinosaurs went out, was when Satan came down. Okay, so that's me. But choice, he came in and he allowed him to come in. And Adam didn't have to choose and Eve didn't have to choose what they did. And there are times when we make wise choices and there are times when we make foolish choices. But let me ask you, do you think we make wise choices more once our emotions are detached from something? Think that's, yeah. Do you think we make wiser choices because we've been educated on something? Depends on what the education is. But yes, yeah. And so for us, my choice has to be based on His Word and my experience with Him. And as we were talked about last week and the week before, and I think Sunday night before that, that's why we need testimonies, is because sometimes my faith is increased by what you've been through. And to know that you're standing gives me hope to make the choice that you made. And the choices with God aren't always easy. Because like the vending machine, I'm not always after what I need once I get there. I'm led by my eyes. I'm led by my appetites. And I'm not always led by the things I need, but by the things I want. And that's what happened. The enemy came in to the garden. There was no palace. It was a beautiful garden that God had created for Adam to live in. And not just a beautiful garden to live in, but He gave him the heavens as His roof. He gave him the beauty of the mountains and the seascape to be His furniture. He gave the animals to live at peace with Him and dominion over all that. Like, really, could you just imagine running up to, you know, a lion and just running your hair through their mane, your hand through their hair or their mane and just stroking them? Could you just, I mean, you want to do that sometimes, right? When you say, oh, that's the most beautiful thing. I just want to touch that, right? He had that. But what happened was man came in and got his eyes off the Creator and onto the creation. And he said to Eve, look at that. Don't you want that? And the enemy, mark this down, always comes through suspicion of God's motives. The enemy always comes through suspicion of God's motives. He won't do that to a non-believer, but to you and me, that's how he comes through. Well, I can't believe God doesn't want you to have that. How come that relationship failed? Man, God should have. God, why didn't you let me have? Right? God, how come they get a, you know, they triumph, you know. Oh, Lord. Then I have to go back and read, you know, like Psalms 33 and Psalms 37 and bring myself out of it. But he got their eyes off of the Creator and onto the creation. And after that, guess what happened? Everything artificial became important. I need a house. I need transportation. I need, right? Everything became artificial. And nothing was provided straight from the hand of God because they lost the presence of God. So while we're talking about this tonight, choice, what is the best for me? That's your first filter. When something happens, be honest, the first filter is, how's this going to affect me? Now, maybe you love your kids enough that you're going to put them as that first filter. Or maybe you love somebody else enough that you'll give them. But generally, my first filter is me. How's this going to affect me? And the first filter should be, how will this affect my relationship with God? Because that's what Adam lost that was so valuable. So the purpose of each tree, they had a purpose. First purpose, for the tree of life. The tree of life in the midst of the garden represented life and how we're going to continue. As long as we have obeyed God, they're just going to continue. But eating of the tree represented their continual obedience to the Lord. So in some manner, eating from the tree sort of perpetuated their life. That was something that kept giving them life that was going to happen in the future. And we know that when we eat of the things of God, like we say we eat communion or eat the word, what really that means is you're just dispensing that and you're just taking that and you're using it as nourishment to your soul. So the fruit of the Spirit was dispensed through them, and it was a byproduct of God's fellowship. Listen, when we were down here Sunday night, or Monday night, how many of you were here Monday night for that meeting? Now, for those of you who are here, can I just ask you, was that like special when we were ordaining the elders? It was like electric anointing. That's the only way I know how to describe it. It was like something, I don't know. Gary, did you feel that same thing or was it different for you? I felt like I was in a time warp of some kind of different plane. I don't even know how to describe it. But that is what happens when you are in the presence of God. Nothing else matters. Have you been at the altar in His presence and you're just so burdened and you're worried and you're fearful because that thing is threatening you, but you get in His presence, peace comes, joy comes, right? You can feel the love again. You have hope. All these things come alive. That's exactly what it was like walking in the garden with Him every day. And instead of that being dispensed out of that presence and that relationship, it was cut off. Was that God's choice? No. But He loved man enough to give him the choice, right? And He didn't manipulate and He didn't contrive. But the enemy used the same thing. He is limited. His tool belt has the same things in it. It's about how something looks. It's about, can this advance me? And certainly we're seeing that more today. But the thing that was being dispensed from the tree of life, from the presence of Him, wasn't just like the fruits of the Spirit that you and I know. But this, let's look at it kind of like a vending machine again. It's like a vending machine that you walk up to and it just analyzes your spirit and shoots out confidence. You know, sometimes you don't need more understanding of God's word. You just need confidence to stand on it. Amen? And so maybe when you come into the presence of God, it's not that you need this thing, this artificial thing that earth is weighing on you. But we just need to get in His presence and let Him dispense to us confidence or peace, rest. And even like Monday night, if you can't put a name on it, it's an unburdening. It's like, man, it's just a pure flow of love, because what happened when the enemy came in, God had already breathed His life into man through His breath. He's breathing. But the soul, the breath, the spirit was cut off. And so that's why we need the breath, the wind of the Spirit that has come back since Jesus has died. He left that Spirit for us. It literally blew in the upper room like a mighty wind. It was the breath of God revisiting and renewing the spirit of man that had been separated from that choice. Because those people suffered watching Jesus, but they stayed true to what they believed. And He rewarded them by breathing that pneuma, you know, like pneumonia. It's something in the lungs. It's like a newness. It was a rushing, and it refilled that spirit in them. So the tree of good and evil, that was for humans to be fully engaged in a human way, to be a legitimate test to see which way they were going to choose. The second thing we see with the tree of good and evil, it was the only negative commandment that God gave to Adam and Eve. It was the only don't. Isn't it funny? Kids, don't you feel like most of the time you're saying, don't, 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 don't. A friend of ours, Charles Slagle, many of you remember him, had told us one time that he felt like the Lord had shared with him one time, as much as you can say yes, And that makes no all the more weighted. Yeah. And, you know, there were a lot of things I had to say yes to that I didn't like. But they weren't eternal. I will never forget. We're getting ready for church. And we lived in the fellowship hall, so church wasn't that far away. And, I had little kids. Jake was just a couple months old when we took this church. And I was getting ready. And, you know, Charity's always been mature for her age. And so go in and get your clothes on. I normally laid everything out. I know it was prophetic for Jake to be a fireman because I called it the fire drill. And I had all their clothes laid out just to jump in every morning. Right? So she comes out and she has on one little lace sock, little ankle sock, right? But she's got on one athletic sock, big cotton thick one pulled up to her knee. On the cute little lace sock, she has put a tennis shoe. And on the big athletic sock, she's put her little patent leather Mary Jane's on. And I'm like, oh, it didn't stop there. So we get up, and her ears were pierced, but I didn't know she could change her ears. And she'd gone in there and gotten a pair of mine, and she had a big, long dangle earring on, and she left a little strawberry shortcake or whatever the other one was in. And she was just as proud, and she came walking out like that. And I just had to swallow it. I mean, I just had to swallow it. Number one, there was no time. It was time to walk out. And number two, I kept thinking that, you know, that's not eternal. It's just me that's embarrassed. She's proud. Don't quench her spirit. She's so proud of what she did. She did what you said. So we go out, and Charles and Paula are there, and this is, I think, part of the way this story came about. And when she walked out, she was just so proud. And Paula Slagle said, oh, Charity, we've just been in England, and this is exactly how the young girls are dressing over there. And I was like, you know, giving her the cut that off, you know, behind Charity's back. And she's like, no, really, she's on trend, she's whatever. And I'm like, oh. And Charity was just, oh, you know, so proud, right? Well, she didn't dress like that forever. It was just a phase. It was just a season. But it was only my embarrassment, not hers. And you see, that's because it wasn't eternal. So the one time that God says no, that's the one the enemy went after. Because whenever God tells you no, think, would you just tap yourself like this? Are you, come on, Patrice, that's it. Tap yourself. I want you to remember this. Whenever God says no, you remember that. That's where the enemy's going to come in and tell you you deserve more. Wherever God says no, that's where the enemy's going to come and say, well. And he's going to put, what did I tell you is the number one thing? He's going to put suspicion on God and God's motives. This world, our culture is full of it. We won't serve that God because he does this, that, or the other. No, people make those choices, and people have done it, and you want to slap a God label on it because you don't want to get in agreement with obedience to God's word because it's going to cost you some fun. Did you ever just take, you know, like a big hunk of money and just go blow it on something that you thought was just really great, and you come back and you're like, man, that was so much fun? You ever do that? Yeah? What do you have to show for that now? But doesn't it make you lust for more? Well, we need to save up and do that again. Or some of you like, I got nothing to show, and I'm, what was that worth? Right? So the third thing that happens was there was nothing intrinsically sinful about the tree or the fruit. The sin was in disobeying God. It wasn't even about what he did. It was why they did it. It wasn't even about the act. It was why they did it. Because he had said no. Why would you love and trust something else more than me when I've provided everything you'll ever need? Well, hey, every parent could ask that, right? But he's a good, good father. And he allows us still to make that choice. Number four, the idea that God tests his creation, that is consistent throughout all the word. He doesn't bring trial to you. He allows it for you to see his goodness. When Steve started the battle series, he made a statement and he said, we are learning to trust God more. And I want you to know, I believe in the past 3 months, I've learned to trust God deeper on a newer level. I praise him for that. But the end of that thought he made was this: now we've got to learn to do it quicker. Guys, that's a word for each one of us tonight. We are learning to trust him more, but we've got to learn to do it quicker. Because the time that it takes, our hearts are getting involved in some things that are taking away from our love and our fellowship with God. And instead of being dispensed with peace and confidence, we feel estranged and alone, because that's what rebellion does. God never leaves, but we've left his presence. Number five, there will be no similar tree in the future because evil will no longer resist. You know, he says, you didn't choose me, I chose you. You're here because he loves you and he wants you to have a life that overcomes. And people say, well, I wish I'd never been born. I wish whatever. Suspicion on God's motives. When God is wanting to love you and to make a way for you. So, what the enemy's dispensing from his vending machine that we walk up to and, oh, that looks so, man. And if, you know, here's the thing. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning. Who's really going to know? You know, and 3 weeks later you wake up and you can't get your pants on because it's showing now, right? But here's what the enemy dispenses. He dispenses guilt, shame, condemnation, and separation. And he uses the biggest tool of all, accusation. And so once we've gotten in agreement and we let him dispense that and took it, our form of money, our form of payment is agreement. Because, man, you got to press the button. You're the one who's in control of what it is you want. And so he comes in and he dispenses that. But there's never going to be this tree again except in Revelation 22:2. And let me read that to you. It says, down the middle of the great street of the city, talking about in heaven, on each side of the river stood the On each side of the river, rivers running both sides of this, stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are the healing for the nations. That's Revelation 22:2. We're going to get back to that tree. We're going to see that tree again. And it was the fruit, even the leaves of that tree, that bring healing. But because man didn't choose it, God had to make another way. And it had to come through earth. And you know the scripture that says, as the first Adam came, then the second had to come. So now the tree of life for us was the cross of Jesus. It had to come back on earth for us to partake of that fruit. And that is why we partake of communion. To remember the work that he's done for us. And to realign with us. To just say yes. You know, I explained it to the children Sunday like it's having a meal with him. Only he's what we're taking in physically. That fruit. That life. So all these things on the life, the things that are on these branches you probably can't see are the fruits of the Spirit. But it is rooted in understanding. It is rooted in our confidence. It is rooted in faith and trust. But he says there's 12 things that yielding its fruit every month, and in 12 types of fruits. So let's look for just a minute at the typology of 12. The number 12 represents a full circle. Now, even though most children can't read a clock anymore that's on a wall, There's 12, right? 12 hours in a day, 12 hours in a night makes 24 for a day, right? So that's a complete thing. It's like a completion. In the Old Testament, we know that Jacob had 12 sons and they became the 12 tribes. So everything has flowed from those 12 tribes. I don't know why people do DNA and it doesn't all go back to whatever, but remember, they were settled in, you know, what's now Turkey and Africa and Egypt and all over. So I think something that's interesting to note is that Ishmael, you know, that was the mess up because Abraham and Sarah just couldn't believe that it could come through them at old age. So he slept with his maid servant and she birthed Ishmael, and he had 12 princes. Isn't that interesting? And then in the New Testament, we know that there were 12 disciples. When I use this mic that they give me, it has my name on it. It has the number 13. I don't mind the number 13 at all, because that's the disciples and Jesus, okay? So I'm going with it. But 12, that was a completed group. And then we know that when he multiplied the fish and the loaves, there were 12 baskets left over. And I love that story because to me that means every disciple got a full basket to show them, I'll not just feed the people that you're serving, I'm going to take care of you too. Who needs that word tonight? Yeah, I'm just not going to let you serve people. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to give you back what you don't even have faith for after we fed everybody else. You will never go wrong by putting other people first when God asks you to do it. Because your basket will come back full. And then he says in Revelations, there's 12 gates made of pearl, a solid pearl. Like some of y'all are going to be hoping to chisel something off. Please do not want to use construction materials to wear in heaven. You're going to have crowns and jewels, and we're going to give them back to him because we aren't going to care about artificial things anymore. We're going to care about his presence. So there's 12 months in a year. There's 12 in a dozen. You see, all these things, it's like a completion. But here's the thing. Christ is now our tree of life. We see that even in Revelation 2:7. John 6:44 says he's the bread of life. He's something that is life-giving. And the good thing, God says, here's the good thing, don't eat it. Here's evil, you're going to go ahead and eat it. It's appetites. He will give us what we need if we're not trying to satisfy our own appetites ourselves. Who is going to pray for me to get rid of this cough? Amen. Thank you, friends. So there was a place that God had designed, and it's still the best place. You can go and you can just get rowdy and you can do whatever you think you need to do. But tell the truth. Isn't the best thing to do when it's a beautiful day and you go sit outside or you just go to the lake or you're just enjoying nature and letting it feed you? You know, my mom, after my dad died, she realized, my mom died before my dad, but we thought he was going to die. He had this quadruple bypass, and he could hardly breathe, really. And she told me, we were there at the hospital, and she said, you know, I've just discovered something. Your dad doesn't go to church, but I know he knows the word. Well, he was listening to Charles Stanley while we were going to church. And she said he already knew the word because his mother went to church all the time and didn't put the word in him. But she said, I just realized when your dad goes outside and sits in that swing, he's having church. That's his sanctuary, that nature is ministering to him. Because whatever's gone bad at the store, whatever financial things, whatever health issues, when he gets back in, he's got peace. And it was meant to do that. It was meant to heal us. Psalms 119:50 says, this is my comfort in my affliction, that your promises give me life. So we need a different plan, and I need God's plan. And that life is going to come through His words. Why is it, really, why is it that we're sick, or someone we love is sick, and we spend our money and we go to a doctor? Well, that makes perfect sense, Gay. That's, we do it because we want to get well. Okay, we go to a doctor. The doctor says, here's what you need to do. Get this prescription filled. You're going to take it this way. And we go and we pay more money to get the prescription filled. And we take it the way he says it. Why is it that God's word is free and we won't do what it says? Because it's a choice. Because he still wants us to choose him. He still wants us to turn to him first. You know, that's why I tell you guys, take your medicine. That's where your faith is. God uses doctors, but pray over it before you put it in your body, that it will have no negative repercussions on you at all. Pray to cover that. So here's the vending machine. You get where you put your choice is what you're going to get. But I don't want you tonight to be led by sight. I don't want us to be led by appetites of the world. Because how many of us have paid that price and been hungry and empty after we gave in? You gave something precious. It was your choice. And something else came back and didn't love your choice back the way you gave it. And so I don't want you to be found in that. I want you to know that anything that puts suspicion on God is the enemy to separate you from his presence, from walking with him. So, there were four things that happened, four natural consequences because of this. The first thing was, God said to the woman in childbearing, it's going to be very painful, and the man is always going to be over you. Second thing, he said to the man, the ground's going to be cursed and it's going to be painful to work because there weren't those briars. There wasn't a drought that made the dirt as hard as concrete. The third thing was, he says, you came from the dust and to dust you're going to return. Have you ever seen one of those movies, those movies where they're in Egypt or whatever, and the thing dies and then it just blows away. It just becomes dust and just, that's exactly what happens, okay? Like that. And then the fourth thing he said is you're going to be banished from the garden, from God's presence. I want to be clear on this. They would have had to leave the garden because he'd already told them, you're going to be fruitful, you're going to go and you're going to work, you're going to have dominion over the earth, you're going to go into the earth. That was not part of the curse. The curse was they could not return to the garden, to his presence, and see him and walk with him. Guys, God is not wanting to banish you from his presence. He's wanting to draw us into his presence. And because of Jesus, the tree of life now, we can come in and I can renounce my choice. I'm telling you, his word is the power over the choice of sin. His word, his living word in your ear, in your heart. You know, before you do that, you shouldn't be doing it. Please be honest, right? And we contrive, the enemy wants us to contrive and to justify why we do what we do. So if you want to justify something, pick up that cup and say, this price has been paid. Is that what I want to happen? I don't want the blood to be wasted. I want to thank him and live for him because he's never lied to me. He did not say life was not going to be hard. I just read you the four things. They're all hard. But what he said is, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. And because of Jesus and the Holy Spirit's comfort, Christina, I can come in right now to him and say, God, I'm a mess. I'm a hot mess. I'm needing your presence. Fill me. And he will do it. He will renew that. If I renounce my love of the things of the world, if I renounce it, if I turn around and say, I don't just want that anymore, Lord. I renounce it, but I want to reconsider. What is it, God? What is it that causes me to do that? And it's love of self more than love of God. It's not even that you recognize you're being in agreement with the enemy. It comes in so subtle. It's like, oh, that really doesn't matter. But you know, it matters to God. Because when I get off the path, if the light's not lighting the way, that's when I get lost. So tonight, I want you to go with me. Let's reconsider why we do the things we do. Let's renounce our agreement with the enemy. I want to tell you, I believe this with all my heart. I don't believe there's anything you've done in sin that God cannot redeem through the blood of Jesus. I don't believe there's a physical condition, one, unless you believe he can't do it and get in agreement with the enemy, that God cannot restore your physical body through health. When he said he redeemed, did he leave anything out? Did he say, I'm not going to suffer, I'll just die? No, he suffered the stripes for our healing. He shed that blood, and we talked about the water already, but do you know when they thrust that sword in his side, you know what came out? Water and blood. And that same blood applies to our sin, but the water is the Word, and it is the Spirit of the living God. It's alive, and it's been shed for us. So I can receive it. It can be redeemed. But love is a choice. Today, Shelley Woodson gave a beautiful devotion during our staff time, and she talked about how she was adopted and how other kids, you know, tried to make her feel bad about it. But she said, I never felt bad about it because my mom always told me, I picked you. I was chosen. And we know from the Word that Jesus comes back in Galatians 4:5, and he said, you've now been adopted back in. Paul told them, there's been an adoption. Not because he didn't choose us, because we didn't choose him. But he's adopted us back into that family. And do you know that in the state of Texas, and I believe it's universal across America, if you adopt a kid, you cannot disinherit the adopted kid. You can disinherit your biological children, but you cannot disinherit an adopted child. And so you have to do legal things to make sure they don't get money if they're foolish. You know, like you can say, if they don't graduate, they're not going to get this money. You can put certain things on it, but you cannot disinherit them. Don't you think God's better than our laws? And when I hold things against my kids, don't you think God does not? Or if I forgive my kids for stupid stuff, no matter how bad it is, don't you think he's better than me? Because I know he is. So here's the thing. If you need to rebel, if you just have the need to rebel, let's make up our minds to rebel against the world. Let's say to the world, I'm not going to do it that way. I'm not going to give in to hatred. I will not give in to fear. And I'm not telling you it's easy, but I'm telling you it's getting easier. We just need to do it quicker. Because that's where the torment is when we're separated from his presence. And that's the importance of the tree of life and the tree of good and evil. Because God knew, not that the information, not that he wanted to withhold, but once they knew what was good and what was evil, and they hid themselves because they recognized they were naked, and God said, who told you you were naked? Because our sin makes us want to hide from God. And he knows, guys. He knew that information would keep us separated from him because we would always filter it through me. How does this affect me? What is this about me? So let's rebel to the world and say, I don't care about me. I care about God. And I care about Jimmy Lou more than I care about me. And I'm going to take care of her and I'm going to pray over her. I'm going to believe for her. And the ones who are lost, I'm not going to give up believing for the lost. I'm not going to give up believing for the rebellious. I'm not going to give up believing for those who literally are so angry and hateful. I'm not going to give up on them because he didn't give up on me. And I'm going to get a basket full back. Because at the end of the day, the remnant, he's always going to have a people, but he's always going to take care of us too. Amen. Stand with me tonight. I'm going to read this little scripture out of Isaiah 55, starting at verse 9. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but I will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You are not going to outdo. You will not outsin God's purpose for your life when you get back in agreement with the watering of his word and his spirit. And you will go out in joy, and you will be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hand. Instead of the thorn bush, the curse. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree. And instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. And this will be for the Lord's renown, an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. You and I are sowing eternal things that nothing on this earth can stop. Because the devil can't get his hands on it. It's stored up in heaven. Have somebody you love in heaven. I got treasure in heaven because it was love. And that's our treasure. Father, tonight, I'm just praying right now. If your heart is burdened that there is something you've done that God cannot forgive right now, we're just going to start praying. Close your eyes. So no judgment, judgment-free zone. If you are having a struggle quitting something, I want you right now just to begin to let God get in agreement with him. God, I need you. I want to hear your voice again, and I want you to help me. I want to be led by love, and I want to know your presence. If you think that God cannot love you because of your sin, I want you right now to just say, I renounce that. That is a lie. That is not the truth. God, that is not who you are. I'm not going to water that thought. I'm not going to entertain it. I just renounce it. I rethink that. I come in agreement with the truth that you are for me and not against me, that you would not want your son to have died in vain. It counts. Jesus, your life counts in mine today. And for those of you right now, you're just struggling. You just feel like you're struggling, and you don't even have something you can put your finger on, but you just feel like you're wavering and you're struggling right now. I want us just to get in agreement and just say, God, I trust you. God, I trust you. God, I trust you. I put my confidence in. I put my hope in. I put my faith in you, Lord. And I'm asking you, God, to help me choose life tonight, that it might come back, God, in rest and in peace and in confidence that you are for me and not against me. Tonight, Lord, we renounce every lie of the enemy off our lives and the lives of our children and the lives of those we love. And we stand in agreement, Father, and we say, to God be the glory. We will see your victory. And we thank you for this tonight, Father, in Jesus' name. And they all said, amen. I love you and God bless you. You know, I can't follow you around and believe for you. Open up this word and find some good things to get in agreement with. Amen? Amen. So Sunday night, night of worship, right? All right. There's a sign-up sheet in the foyer for the men's breakfast, men's retreat. And ladies, I do want you to know, I'm not trying to scare you, but we have a lower number we can take this year to retreat, okay? So if that's something you're interested in, you know, last year we had to close it. We sold it out. So if that's something you're interested in, you probably really need to at least get your name on that list, okay? Love ya.